Far away places with strange sounding names. Far away over the sea. Those far
away. Winslow's journals spanned a period from April 10th through to August 24th, 1948. What follows, in the Dove's own words, are the key extracts of interest. April 10th, 1948, Bangkok. Well, it's been quite a journey, but it feels good to be back in the region. Looks like we got a good crew. Joe Cash and Pat O'Malley are my engineers from Pacific. Well, they know their stuff. I got Phil Crawshaw, Keith Granger, and Dennis Thorpe from USC as my assistant archaeologists. Then Jack Brass is our operations manager, and Daniel Dubois is our lead linguist. Brass has also recruited some Japs as a security team. Apparently they worked on our side during the war. Guess we know what that makes them, then. Their boss is a guy named Taki. He's obviously American, and seems to have a lot of respect from his crew. April 17, 1948. South Island, Andaman Sea. So we're settled in, and an initial exam seemed to have gone well. Phil and the team set out a grid on Site A and have started work. These are ruins, and quite extensive. Hopefully we can get a date for them in the next few days. I have to say, they look ancient. I'm going to take a flight over the island of the seaplane and try and work out the lay of the land. I'm guessing that what we're seeing may not be everything. April 24th, 1948. South Sentinelese Island, Andaman Sea. So, our tests have come back with a date for these ruins, but I'm not sure they can be right. The results are saying 70,000 to 100,000 BC. It's been speculated that mainland Thailand was home to various indigenous communities for thousands of years, but the discovery of Homo erectus fossils in places like Lampang Province is just one example of archaic hominids. Stone artifacts have also been found in Mae Hong Sun and the Karabi Peninsula, with archaeological data suggesting a history going back 18,000 to 3,000 years ago, but these primarily derive from cave and rock shelter sites and are associated with Hobanian forages. This is entirely different. It suggests a community and an organized structure and faith going back tens of thousands of years. If that's true, what a find! April 25th, 1948. South Sentinelese Island, Andaman Sea. Took my first flight in really good weather today, and sure enough, off the eastern cliffs, I can see more ruins in the water. We're sending to the mainland for diving gear, and Jack says he and Pat can do some exploration for us. May 3rd, 1948. Jack's back with a couple of French frogmen and their support vessel, the Beau Soleil. The captain is a guy called Didier Dumond. They have a proper old diving suit with air pumped from the boat. So, it looks like I might be able to take a look around for myself. May 5th, 1948. Danny Dubois had a long chat with the natives today. They say we shouldn't go into those ruins underwater, but refused to elaborate as to why, just that it was bad luck. The islanders helping out above ground don't seem too bothered, though. May 10th. Taki and his men had a little trouble with the islanders today as we opened up Site B. This is on the eastern bay, around 3 miles south of Site A. Ruins are what looks to me like a Vedic temple of the mature period. Statues of Rama are obvious, so my best guess is this is around 1000 to 2000 BC. The site also contains what look like dwellings or barracks. This looks like a military outpost, but what it's doing here, I really don't know. Anyway, we assured Chief Nagak of the Sentinelese tribe that we're not removing anything or messing with the statues of Rama, which he appeared to be most vexed about. Taki's guys are going to keep an eye on things. May 17. Big finds, underwater in Site C. A pictographic wall, which is a real head spinner. Seems to show worship of some celestial deities who are in competition with each other. One is elephantine, and appears to be subservient to another that is more insectile. Kind of looks like a giant mantis. The elephant god is then being worshipped by a race of humanoids, although they have flippers as well as human appendages. Then beneath them come what look like pygmy humans who hunt sea creatures like sharks and dolphins. The mantis god seems to have less worship, but those that do worship him look like kings and princes. Very odd. Certainly doesn't marry with any early mythology I know of. May 20. I've talked Jack into seeing if we can raise the sunken wall. It's going to need special equipment, but Taki has told us he thinks he can help with this. I guess the Yakuza have some good contacts in the area. June 20. The equipment has been dropped by seaplane, so we're in business. Site C is officially open for exploration. July 1st. Major find in Site C. A secret underground chamber that looked like a tomb, but was empty except for an idol in an alcove. This idol is small and squat, made of gold. It was walled up, hidden by piled up rocks. Kinda like it was imprisoned. There are carvings upon it, but it's hard to make out the design. My team think it's a cuboid representation of the mantis deity. July 12. Unexpected visitors today. Canoes, populated by about 30 natives from the North Island. This was quite a surprise, as we had been told by everybody that the North Islanders were fierce isolationists who don't like intruders. They look very similar to the Thai people, although they are shorter and squatter. Phil, who's also an anthropologist, thought they looked more Vietnamese or Cambodian. They were mostly armed with primitive weaponry, although a few also had firearms, recent Jap rifles and sidearms. Taki and his men told us we should break out our weapons and wear them openly, so we did. Our islanders fled when they came in sight, although Chief Nagak and a bunch of men returned later and were clearly ready to fight. Before that happened, an odd little man came ashore. He was wearing a pinstripe suit, a bowler hat, and an umbrella, like he'd stepped out of a child's picture book of London. He spoke fluent, although accented English, and greeted us warmly. He said we had something he wanted and was here to trade with us. I asked what he was referring to, and he described the golden idol. I asked him why he wanted it, and he told me it was culturally important to his people, the Cho. I could see Jack was getting nervous. These people have a reputation for cannibalism, and he wanted them gone. I was also surprised they knew anything about the idol. I very much doubted our native diggers would have gone to their natural enemies. Their leader, whose name was Preek, seemed pleasant and amenable, though. He said that in return for the idol, he would allow us to see the temple of the god of his people, and that the secrets of eons would be revealed to us. We would be the first white people ever to set foot in his island, and he would personally guarantee our safety. I have to say, I was stoked at that idea. Preek asked to see the idol, and I told him it was already packed and on the Beau Soleil and not immediately available. Before Preek could argue, Nagak and his tribal warriors returned, and he left without another word. July 14. Site B has now been dated to around 330 BC. That's later than we thought. Having uncovered caches of spear and arrowheads, we're now convinced this was a fort and shrine to Rama. July 16. We met with Chief Nagak today. He's angry and wants us to pack up and leave. Jack had a part with quite a wadge of cash and a promise of guns and ammo to follow, which Taki is going to source for us. Clearly the appearance of Preek and his men was an unpleasant surprise. Nagak said something about them being degenerates, who worshipped dark gods of the land and sea, and that they were the children of the great old ones, who were shunned by God. Most of Nagak's tribe are now Hindu. July 17. More finds in the sea ruins. These artifacts are elephantine votives and bear the marks of the elephant god. We also uncovered a sub-chamber packed with skeletal remains that shows the marks of ritual sacrifice. The bodies are all jumbled together, so impossible to definitively confirm, but we think several hundred at least. July 20. An incursion on the Beau Soleil took place last night. Fortunately, Captain Dumond had taken Brass's advice to arm and double the watch, and the assailants, who we think swam from canoes, were quickly repelled by the crew and their rifles. It looks like 5 North Islanders were killed. July 31st. I've had a recurring dream over the past 10 nights, and it's pretty unpleasant. In it, I am staked out atop a cliff in a temple, with hundreds of the chows screaming and undulating. I'm looking inland, facing the crowd below. As the cries rise and women and children are murdered before me, I see a great shadow loom from the temple doors, and the elephant god walks out. It roars into the night sky, and suddenly, I'm looking at myself. August 3rd. Preak returned today under the cloak of night. He came to my tent without alerting the Yak guards that were supposed to be protecting the perimeter. He said he knew what I had dreamt of, and that there would be no rest until I came to the North Island and brought Ran T'Goth's idol with me. Then he left as quickly as he had come. Well, I suppose we now have a name for the Manus god, at least. August 10th. The dreams continue and grow more intense. I talked to Brass today about taking up Prig's offer. Unsurprisingly, I was solidly rebuffed. I think I may have to take some independent action. August 15th. I had a good chat with Tacky today. I heard about his time in internment down at Commerce in California. Sounds like he and his family had a pretty raw time of it. That's why he came back to Japan and then onto Thailand to help his boss, or Oyabun as he calls it. He likes individual Americans, but not our country. I asked whether he and his men could provide protection if I was to travel to the North Island, and he said he would be willing. August 16th. Big row tonight with Brass about heading to the North Island. Even though Tacky has offered to go with me and take some of his guys, Jack and Pat think I'm insane. And I guess there's some truth to that. I actually am getting twitchy about going to sleep now, and I feel drained and tired during the day. Tacky is sent for more guys. Should be here in a week or so. August 20. More dreams, although these are new. I am crashing through the jungle, being pursued by a flowing carpet of insect life, until I arrive in a safe haven temple by an alien shore where the sea is red and humanoid creatures with reptilian scales bob in the surf waiting for me. The carpet takes on the massive form of a giant mantis, and I retreat into the sea where it cannot follow. August 23rd. The Yak boys have arrived, and Brass and I have more words. He's begged me not to go to the Cho Island, but I am resolved. Danny Dubois, who would be noncommittal throughout, said he'd like to come with me. Honestly, I'm glad I'm not going as the only white man. Joe Cash also came to me with a swell idea, and I'm going to take him up on it once I've had a chat with Tacky. August 24th. Things are wrapping up with the sights now, and I've told the team to get everything into crates and onto the Beauchelet or the Goose. Given our new plan, we've agreed that we will need to strike camp and head for home once our business on North Island is complete.